How do we get from Mr. Goombles to Super Mario?
Hello everybody and welcome to Season 3 of the Wikipedia Wanderers, which is very exciting. We've had a break of which you travelled halfway around the world and came and saw me. So
yeah.
The bonus episode of the quiz is out as part of Season 2. We tagged that on to the end of Season 2, but technically it was the mid-season break. And it was 9-all, I think it was, something like that. 9-all, 11-all. Yeah. It was a draw.
Textbook pre-season, kind of fixture, that one.
Yeah. I mean, I would go to more pre-season games if they finished 11-all. So, yeah.
How was your pre-season been, Dave? You've been getting back to full fitness? Searching Wikipedia pages constantly and reading as fast as you can, click as many links as you can. Is that what you've been doing?
I'd say my approach to pre-season is probably more around the Paul Gascoigne approach to his pre-season. I wouldn't say I've looked at many Wikipedia pages. I've looked at a few Wikipedia pages, but I've probably done as much research over the summer as I do post or pre-episode. So not a great deal. I did find myself looking up at the 2003-2004 Man United season today, actually. It was a rabbit hole, which is the whole reason we set up this show, right? Because we love going down rabbit holes. And I didn't even start on anything to do with football.
Talk me through it quickly.
I started on Hayden Christensen of Anakin Skywalker fame.
Anakin Skywalker,
Because I was watching Star Wars when I was eating my lunch today, because I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, so that's a common occurrence. I went Hayden Christensen onto a film he had been in, or a TV show that was absolutely nowhere to be seen. It was released in 03-04. I then went to the year 03-04. Man United won the league that year, I think. It was all part of things that had happened in England.
Probably it was in the past.
So. Yeah, exactly. And I went through and ended up on Man United's 03-04 season. So,
what was memorable about that season? Is there anything I would... I really struggled to work out. Is that a Ruud van Nistelrooy era?
Yeah, it's Ruud van Nistelrooy's last season. Louis Saha came in, which was the downfall of Ruud, because Ruud van Nistelrooy got dropped for the last three games of the season for Louis Saha to play, and he was unhappy about it, and he left the Valley. I think it was against Charlton when he just was told he wasn't being picked, so he just got in his car. Well, got in a car and drove off. I don't know if it was his car, because I assume he went
probably
on the team bus.
Probably didn't drive down to.
Yeah, I assume he went on
I'm
the team
drive
bus.
Drive down to anyone to get back in the back of a car.
Yeah,
there's, I don't know, Wes Brown going, "You drove me here, Ruud. You can't just leave."
Exactly.
Fucking Ruud in his car.
I don't think there was anything too memorable about it, but yeah. So that's the most recent Wikipedia page I've looked at. You didn't ask, but that is the most recent Wikipedia page I've looked at. In the summer break. So what about yourself? How's your summer break been?
Great. I'm just now looking back at my my Wikipedia history, because the app has all your history. Yeah, I've looked at Eddie Hearn, I've looked at Drumsticks, I've looked at Martin Odegaard. Don't know why I looked at him. I was looking at Pablo Mari, because he's X-Man City, didn't realise.
Is he?
Yeah.
There you go. Because,
Arteta can't buy anybody who's from City.
Yeah, very true.
Doing my research. Paul Pogba's on there. He's obviously the talk of the summer for a little bit. Baba Rachman. You remember Baba Rachman?
Left back?
Left back. I think that was at a point when it seemed like Chelsea were getting rid of all their players.
Yeah, okay.
And I was thinking, oh, is he still there? Aaron Ramsey? Because at the end we had the Wales World Cup qualification.
You could not have... We haven't planned talking about this, but you could not have planned this better to be how different we approach this, not the show, because we both take it very seriously, but in terms of looking into Wikipedia, because one, I didn't have the app until you came to Singapore and made me download the
ridiculous
app.
Ridiculous. Who doesn't have a Wikipedia app? It's like not even WhatsApp on your phone. It's ridiculous.
But my point was, why do I need it on the app? I can just go on Google and search whatever I want. The first link's normally Wikipedia and click on it.
No, you don't get this. It's joy.
I don't. You're right.
If I said to you an actor called Ryan Maloney, would you know who that is?
That is... I was going to say, is it Kevin Malone from The Office? But I don't think it is.
No, it's from a soap. It's Tony Rebecca from Neighbours.
Oh, no chance. No. Good. It's been, I'd say, eclectic. It's mainly football, which is great. So... should we get on with the first episode of Season 3? And listeners have got something, maybe, if we can plan it in, to look forward to in terms of a new feature if we get it to work. And if we don't get it to work,
not work, and then going, where was that feature, guys?
This is going to be really awkward, yeah. But we are starting with Golden Balls, David Beckham.
Wow, Dave, how did you find this guy?
I mean, it took hours of research to think of this person to get to David Beckham. I think the listeners are going to be happy because I don't think many people know about David Beckham.
Fortunately, we always say on the show, an education, education, exactly. education. And David Beckham is there. Well, this is an opening day special, though.
It is.
So it narrows the field why you would choose this man.
It is. And I've chosen it because of that goal against Wimbledon. I assume you remember it, Josh.
I do, but I only in researching this episode did I realise, or maybe re-remembered, it was opening day.
Yeah, same. I thought it was like just pre-Christmas sort of time, like one of those winter days where the sun's out sort of thing. Because I remember it being sunny. I remember it being in the sun.
Yeah.
Which makes sense that it's the first day of the season, now that you think about it. But it was like, I thought it was mid-season, but it was the goal that put David Beckham on the map. Halfway line, lobbed over Neil Sullivan against Wimbledon, who don't even exist anymore. And it was, that Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon fans, obviously you do still exist, apologies. But yeah, lobbed it over Neil Sullivan and stood there, arms out, celebrating on the halfway line. And everyone was like, oh my God, who is this kid? And it was amazing. Yeah.
What year was that then? So that was
1996.
Okay, so he wasn't in the Euro 96 squad or was on the peripheries of it, was he?
No, I don't think so. I think this was his first. He had been on loan. Well, let's go through his club career, Josh. So 91 to 94 was the youth and early career at Man United, of which he was signed from Tottenham. As a youngster. He weirdly, and you don't see this very often, because I'm looking at his TSR, his TRS, top right summary. Got it wrong straight away off the bat. The TRS. He had a loan spell as a youth player from Tottenham.
That is odd. I think that's the first time I've ever seen that. Yeah.
From Tottenham to Brimsdown Rovers, which sounds very Australian.
But then 14 at the time.
Yeah, I know.
He was a loan age 14.
When you're that good, mate, you're that good. Man United picked him up at 1991 as a youth player. 92 to 2003 was at Man United. Had a loan spell at Preston North End, where he played for which manager? This isn't your pop
David
quiz.
David Moyes.
It was David Moyes. Took him on loan at Preston North End. 03 to 07, Real Madrid. 116 appearances, 13 goals there. Then he moved to LA Galaxy. Remember that big hoo-ha moving to LA Galaxy?
Oh, it was big, yeah.
07 to 2012, 98 appearances, 18 goals, which really doesn't sound very much for MLS, for a player of his standard. Two loans at AC Milan back-to-back, 09 and 10. A combination, 29 appearances, two goals. And then he finished his career at PSG, but now owns a team that have already been mentioned on the podcast in Season 2, Inter Miami. Because we went to Tony Pulis's son?
Anthony Pulis.
And of course, the England career he had was pretty phenomenal. 115 appearances, 17 goals. I feel like that's not very many for our free kick taker for the nation.
Free kicks are always one of those ones where you don't actually score many of them. They're memorable when you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was his fifth goal for the his country when he scored that free kick against Greece.
Yeah, that's probably his standout goal after the halfway line, I would say.
I would agree. I'd say I have much more fond memories of the free kick goal.
I would agree. I think I have more fond memories of the free kick goal against Greece. But I think if you said to people of our age, I wouldn't say anybody, but if you said people of our age in the street, what's David Beckham's most famous goal? I think they would go free kick against Greece. Oh, no, wait. Probably the one that put him on the map.
What about any other England goal you remember? I can remember one.
He scored the free kick against Ecuador to put us through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup in Japan and South Korea. Really nice free kick. Over the wall, and it was one of those that hit the goal line as it went in, like hit the floor of the goal line, so it didn't curl into the top corner. It was up and down over the wall. Yeah, it was lovely.
Scored a free kick against Colombia.
Okay.
His first goal, his first ever goal of France 98, wasn't that a free kick?
It was. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. Yeah.
And also the penalty, if you remember, the penalty where Pochettino takes down Michael Owen, he smashes it in, because that would have been the 2002, after 98. Yeah.
The redemption penalty, yeah, it was. When he really celebrated, didn't he? Like, really, basically ripping his shirt off.
It was really aggressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, so yeah. I think it was more a release of emotion rather than aggressive, I'd say. So
okay, it wasn't quite Stuart Pearce penalty against Spain aggression.
Yeah. So there is... it's not a quiz, because that might come later as the new feature, we'll see. But I don't know how far you've read down his page. Do you know David Beckham's first shirt number at Man United?
No, not.
Number 10.
Oh.
Yeah, inherited from Mark Hughes, the number 10 shirt, before taking on number 7. So
that was his first shirt, was number 10.
Yeah.
In blimey, they thought highly of him, didn't they?
At the beginning, well, in his first, it was his when he was actually part of the senior team fully, 96-97. Yeah, number 10. Right. But it is mentioned on that part of his page. At the beginning of 96-97 season, Beckham was given the number 10 shirt that had most recently been worn by Mark Hughes. On the 17th of August 1996, in brackets, the first day of the Premier League season, Beckham became something of a household name when he scored a spectacular goal in a match against Wimbledon. With United leading 2-0, Beckham noticed that Wimbledon's goalkeeper Neil Sullivan was standing a long way out of his goal, hit a shot from the halfway line, 57 yards out, that floated over the goalkeeper and into the net. Unbelievable. What a goal.
You a fan of long-distance goals like that?
I do think they take some talent. I do think playing football for as long as I attempted to play football... and knowing how hard it is to actually hit it with enough power to be that accurate. Because I think a lot of people could kick the ball that far, but I think it would go so wayward. It's like golf, right? The harder you try to hit it, the more slicey it gets or more hooked it gets. I think football's the same. So I do appreciate a nice long-range goal. I really do. Yeah. Wayne Rooney against West Ham, Beckham against Wimbledon, Naeem against Arsenal.
It's much better for me when the goalkeeper's properly scrambling and ends up tangled in the net.
Yeah, I don't like... I like those ones where the goalkeeper's making a real effort. What I didn't like about Rooney's one against West Ham was that Adrian, I think was the West Ham goalkeeper at the time, was slipped and lost his footing. So he fell way... he fell before the goal line. I'm like, nah.
Well, at that point you go, what if? Is it because he slipped? Or not? My least favourite long-range goal is Pedro Mendes against Roy Carroll, because it didn't count.
You mean the best save of all time?
Such a bad save. Like, what? He's catching it up high, spills over. Oh, God.
Yeah, but then he kept it out, right? So
He stopped it from touching the net. Yes.
Yeah. Well, the linesman...
that would have been a real telltale sign.
As the old joke used to say, the linesman didn't see it because his Man United scarf was fluttering in his face at the time. But, yeah. But then... I mean, other than... Do you remember anything about Beckham in terms of, like, standout performances or moments for PSG, AC Milan, or even Real Madrid?
A couple of Real Madrid. You see, they kind of... and that memory would be from, you know, you see random highlights pop up on your socials, like a long-range pass to Ronaldo or Zidane or something. And it's just his crosses from deep will be remembered. My performances, I remember, is where he was really a shining light in England performances. He was like a man possessed. He really did try and give his all for England, and he showed up a lot of people for not trying in those England sides, I thought.
Yeah, I totally agree. Obviously, there was a lot around when he fell out with Alex Ferguson, because he was becoming too much of a sort of playboy, hanging out with Victoria Beckham too often, and did that, became too big a celebrity, and Fergie, they sort of fell out. Then he got a contract extension, and then he was sold anyway because of the boot incident. Can you remember hearing about this?
Alex Ferguson kicked a boot at him or something?
Ferguson said it was the best strike he's ever done and the most accurate strike he ever did. Hit David Beckham in the face, cut his eye, came out with a massive plaster over the top of his eye, and it was all caught in the press, and that led to his selling to Real Madrid to become...
Yeah, I imagine if my boss kicked something at my face and cut me, I think I'd probably leave the company as well.
Yeah, but...
But what?
But you would leave and wouldn't be guaranteed a move to go and work with the best ever accountant ever. Whereas David Beckham... could leave a company and go and work with one of the best midfielders of all time in Zinedine Zidane and arguably the best striker of all time in R9. So, slightly different.
I'd also be a bit annoyed if my manager who did that didn't face any repercussions.
Very true. Yeah, very, very true.
Different world. Because I remember I was watching as Gary Neville, I can't remember what it's called, he has a little YouTube
The channel. Overlap.
Overlap, and he met with David Beckham and talking about his haircut, and he's like, I had it until Sir Alex Ferguson told me to cut my hair. It's like, imagine going to work and your boss tells you to cut your hair. It's like, what are you doing?
Stay
out of business.
Very
haircut, mate.
Very strange, isn't it? It's a whole new world, football, isn't it? It's a whole different world.
Sir Alex Ferguson would be nothing these days.
But I'm not even biting.
HR of a field day with that guy.
So many people know about David Beckham. Where are we trying to get to, Josh? Where are we trying to get to?
We're trying to get to another guy who has an opening day bluter of a goal. Mario Stanic.
Ex-Chelsea.
Can you tell me the opening day goal?
I know he had... He was known for a volley, so it must be a volley, but I can't picture it in... I can't picture him doing anything at Chelsea, so...
No. So, I'll tell you about him first, and we'll touch on the guy. I didn't know if you remembered it or not. So, born in Yugoslavia, started his career in Yugoslavia for a Sarajevo side. I'm not going to begin to pronounce the name of the side. But then, when the war broke out, he moved to Croatia... a side called Croatia Zagreb, which I'm pretty sure now is called Dynamo Zagreb. And then he has a series of one seasons. So one season at Zagreb, one season at Sporting Gijon, one season at Benfica, one season at Club Bruges. Like, I mean, look at that season at Club Bruges as well. So he's a midfielder, obviously, so 17 goals and 63 appearances in Yugoslavia, 11 goals and 26 appearances for Zagreb, 7 in 34 for Sporting Gijon, 5 in 14 for Benfica, goes to Belgium, 27 goals in 37 appearances for Club Bruges. I think he found a level that was slightly beneath him, so he then moves to Parma. And Parma is where he really settles in, actually spends longer than a season, so he spends 4 years at Parma. And it was there in then so in the year 2000, we have Gianluca Vialli in charge of Chelsea. Vialli's just signed Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank and Eidegger Johnson. Adds Mario Stanic at 5.6 million, and that's a pretty good couple of transfers already. Johnson and Hasselbank obviously have a much more successful career than Stanic. And so Stanic makes his debut. Debut 4-2 home win against West Ham. And he scored a brace, and one of them striked from 35 yards. So he's kind of inside right position. The ball comes to him. I'd say a poor first touch. It pops up. He juggles it a few times, hits it on the volley, curves kind of into out right off to the top right corner.
I'll have to watch it. I'll have to get back there and watch it. I was just thinking, is 96 to 2000 prime Parma? Is that when we're talking like Buffon, Cannavaro, like prime? They've signed him from prime Parma.
I would say it's got to be close, isn't it? Because that's kind of an era I was playing like football, like Championship Manager and things like that, and that seems around that time. So, that's pretty good. He's getting some game time there, isn't it?
Yeah, very true.
Again, does pretty well, 20 goals or 19 goals in 17 appearances. That goal we just mentioned was nominated for Goal of the Season. And so 4 years at Chelsea, but wasn't a lot of appearances, 59 and 7 goals. It was. I'd struggle to remember much else that Mario Stanic did in that time.
I'm trying to think. When did Abramovich buy Chelsea? Would that?
I'd say a bit later than that. I'd say maybe a couple of years after that, 2006, 2007, right, the tail end of my university life.
That's true. Actually, I was thinking would have been one of those players that was bought in. And then basically the millions turned up and he was just completely replaced straight away.
Well, I'll tell you what happened with his career. So he touched on his international career. So played regularly for Croatia. So he got 49 appearances for Croatia, part of the Euro 96 side, appeared 3 times. France 98, appeared in all 7 games when Croatia came third. Actually scored Croatia's first World Cup goal in a 3-1 win against Jamaica.
Nice.
And then appeared in the 2002 World Cup, a couple of appearances. He then retired... at age 32. So with 2003, four seasons, so a few years after that. So injuries got the better of him.
Ah, okay.
But a decent career overall. He won the league in Croatia and Belgium, won the cup in Belgium and Italy, was top scorer. Amazingly, not top scorer in that Club Brugge season. It fails to... Oh, no, sorry, right, yeah. Yeah, Belgium first division top scorer he was, 95-96, which makes sense, which is quite impressive for a midfielder.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at this thinking, what's the way in?
Croatians.
FIFA World Cup third place for Croatia.
That... Well, France 98 is obviously a link.
Yeah, have we used France 98? I don't think we have previously. For the new listeners of this season, we're not allowed to use past links that we've used in previous podcasts. So that goes for season one and season two and now into season three. So
to give you an idea, we've gone on 251 different pages so far.
Wow. Okay. I'd love to find a way in from the Belgium First Division Top Scorer Award just to find out who else has won that. That would be amazing.
We haven't been to France 98. We went to the 2002 World Cup, the 1962 World Cup.
How'd you do?
Your textbook World Cup, sir.
Yeah. he did win the FA Charity Shield with Chelsea as well. That could be a link in 2000.
2000 Charity Shield. Okay. And we got Croatians playing for Real Madrid. Don't think Man United have had any that I can remember. But Savo Milosevic, was it?
Lazio.
He's Serbian. Yeah. That's all types of wrong, that is.
Luka Modric. Obviously.
Modric, yeah.
There is soon to be a new Premier League Croatian for Spurs. Just while we're touching on, obviously we're recording this ahead of time, but that transfer has been confirmed that Perisic is moving to Spurs.
Yeah, Spurs do love their Croatian.
Yeah, quick tangent. How do you feel about Perisic at Spurs?
I think he'll be excellent. I think he's going to be phenomenally good. To offer a left side of Perisic and Son, who are both incredibly two-footed, will be an absolute nightmare for opposing right side defence, I'd say.
Excellent. All right, then. Back to the podcast. David Beckham. So many things we could click on. Anything you would like to know more about from what we know of David Beckham? Obviously, try and keep it around football, but, you know, there's a lot on here that isn't football.
So I'm looking at individual awards, and obviously normally turns out something interesting. So we obviously have Serie A link with Stanic, Parma, he's got a gold Blue Peter badge. Do you reckon Stanic has a Blue Peter badge?
I don't think so.
It'll be quite unlikely. FIFA 100 is obviously there.
Yeah, obviously Pele's FIFA 100 makes an appearance in the first episode of season 3.
Bad smell, that gets absolutely everywhere.
Ryan Reynolds is mentioned. Deadpool 2 is mentioned.
Why? What is the mention there?
Beckham has played along to jokes about his voice, and in a 2018 promo for Deadpool 2, Beckham is seen watching the first installment of the film franchise with Ryan Reynolds' character, where he compares Beckham's voice to inhaling helium.
He did get a lot of shit for his voice in his early life, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. It was very high.
He seemed to like that with England captains. Like, Harry Kane gets a lot of rubbish for his voice. It's just an easy...
It's an easy put down, isn't it? That's the problem. So, but yeah, individual awards, there's absolutely loads, mate. Oh my word, we could go and have a look at the MLS Comeback Player of the Year award.
We could, if you could justify the link to Mario Stanic.
I don't have to, because what is that award? One, he never went back to the MLS. He was only there once. How can he win a Comeback Player of the Year award? In my mind, that's like someone who's left the MLS and then come back.
Yeah, or is it for someone who's had like a bad season and they've had a good season? We're going there.
Come on then. The MLS Comeback Player of the Year award. Clicking on the actual link.
It's a Major League Soccer award established in 2000. The award is voted on by media, MLS players and club management. It is presented to a player who showed impressive improvement after overcoming a serious injury or medical condition or after a previous slump in the career. Oh, cry, that's one of the most vague... That's just kind of like, most improved. That's kind of almost a most improved player.
Yeah, it is. It's odd.
And to give you an idea, if you're not on this page, we've got a list of 20 odd players here and their clubs to pick from. Two Brits.
Yeah.
Mostly Americans, one Costa Rican and a Spaniard.
Yeah, I'm quite tempted to go to the other Brit, to be honest. it doesn't help. I mean, what else helps us out there? Where else did Carlos Gil play?
Don't know. I feel like we've already spoken about him before, but so we've got Clint Dempsey as names that we can pick from. We've got Eddie Johnson, Bobby Convey. Bobby Convey, was he at Spurs or linked to Spurs?
It was the name I recognise.
Other than that, I don't really recognise Chris Pontius. I thought he was in Jackass.
Chris Pontius used to play for DC United. I know that much, which doesn't help us.
So the other Brit is Bradley Wright Phillips, whose brother played for Chelsea, probably in a similar era. Bradley Wright Phillips, Sean Wright Phillips was Abramovich money, wasn't he?
Yeah, Sean Wright Phillips was one of Abramovich's first signings, I think.
In my head, it's on wingers. Robin Duff and Wright Phillips. My head is what I did.
The other thing, would Stanich be mentioned on Chelsea's page? I don't, other than that opening goal.
It's unlikely. When you go back to Stanich's page, apart from his national team, maybe Club Bruges, maybe he's got a record as a goal scorer in that season. Most goals in a season, maybe. But the others are one season's. Parma is slight chance, but I'd say it's unlikely to be on any club page.
Yeah.
I'm fine with going Bradley Wright Phillips.
Who did he score it against? Sorry.
West Ham.
Oh, West Ham. Okay, West Ham. What before we click in, what do we know about Bradley Wright Phillips?
Didn't do well in England. Did really well in...
What was his English career? Southampton?
Plymouth Argyle?
Southampton, Plymouth.
Blackpool?
Where did he start? He must have started at a good, half-decent Premier League team. He must have been on the books.
Probably going to be up at City, I'd have thought, wouldn't it? That's where Sean Wright Phillips came through.
Yeah, I guess so. And then he's done New York Red Bull, LAFC. I feel like we need to learn a bit more about Bradley Wright Phillips. Yeah?
All right, okay. Bradley Wright Phillips.
So, Bradley Wright Phillips began his career with Man City in the Premier League before spending the remainder of his time in England in second and third tiers with Southampton, Plymouth, Charlton and Brentford. Not Blackpool, Brentford. He joined New York Red Bulls halfway through the 2013 season and helped them win their Sports Shield. In his first season, he equaled the league's record for most goals in a single campaign with 27 and is a two-time MLS Golden Boot winner. He currently holds the New York Red Bulls record for most goals scored. There you go. He became the 11th player in the MLS to score 100 goals. I mean, that is finding your level, isn't it? And or a level just below your level, I guess.
Yeah, when you're top scorer, is that your level or is that...
Yeah.
Below your level? When it's not the top level?
I'll tell you what I didn't remember, Josh. That he made 32 appearances for Man City.
No.
I don't remember him.
If you put that into minutes, it would be a lot less.
Yeah, true.
I'm thinking 10 minutes burst here and there.
Yeah, very true. 32 appearances for Man City over a two-year spell, 2 goals. Southampton, 111 appearances, 22 goals over 3 years. Plymouth Argyle, 09-11, 32 appearances, 17 goals. Charlton, 31 goals in 82 games for them over 2 years. Went on loan to Brentford, 5 goals in 15, so 1 in 3, not too bad. New York Red Bulls, 108 goals in 195 appearances over a 6-year spell. Then he moved to LAFC and scored 8 in 19. Columbus Crew, 1 in 21. And is now back at New York Red Bulls in 2022 with 0-0 at the moment so far for them. 194 goals in 507 appearances overall. So quite a good career. I feel like it's odd that nobody from Europe took a punt on him after that New York Red Bull stint.
I think there's got to have been offers, but I think he's probably just got that comfort and that confidence that just kept on going with it.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah.
It's funny reading the names. Like he was he tied one Pablo Angel's record for most goals, then beat it. He joined Robbie Keane as the only two players in MLS history to score 15 or more goals in four consecutive seasons. He capped his second MLS Golden Boot title in 3 years, beating crosstown rival David Villa by a goal. It's got to feel good that you're doing that and achieving. Because I mean, I looked at the stats and did his goals per game in England and goals per game in America. It's just night and day. And why wouldn't you stay in the MLS?
Very true. Yeah, very true. How do you feel about this sentence, Josh? Because you know I said he's re-signed for New York Red Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about this? On the 8th of March 2022, Wright Phillips announced his retirement from football. On the 9th of March 2022, Wright Phillips announced that he had signed a one-day contract so he could retire as a New York Red Bull, following which he was appointed as special assistant to the sporting director. There's a lot to like and dislike in that sentence. A one-day contract to retire as a New York Red Bull? How do you feel about that?
Was it to get a pension? What's he doing that for?
I don't know. It's very American, isn't it? It sounds very... I don't know if they have to... Can they only retire a shirt or something if he's at the club or ends his career? I don't know.
But... Is it for a visa? I don't know.
Yeah. But yes, special assistant to the sporting director.
And so if he won it, he won it in 2020, the Comeback Player of the Year Award. So 2019, he didn't have a... I mean, 2020 wasn't much better, but he'd come off the back of... So in 2014, 27 goals, 17 goals, 24 goals, 17 goals, 20 goals... 2019 was two goals, and then the subsequent year where he won the Comeback of the Year Award, changing clubs for Los Angeles FC, he got eight goals. So does it touch on what happened that 2019 season? It doesn't say. There's no injury or anything. It says made 29 appearances, didn't do very well.
There you have it. Josh's summary of that year for Bradley Wright Phillips.
Started playing, made a mess of it. Bon appetit.
Personal life. We love going to a player's personal life, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Wright Phillips holds an active interest in grime music and is affiliated with Lewisham-based grime crew OGZ, having appeared on pirate radio sets with the group. In 2014, he clashed fellow footballer Yannick Bolasie for the long-running grime DVD series Lord of the Mics. I mean, that's asking to be clicked, but definitely not in this podcast.
I'm not sure Lord of the Mics, said he, would give us Mario Stanich.
You never know what he's done in his spare time. So
no. Okay, so we're on Bradley Wright Phillips. He's had a pretty poor English career, very successful American career, and we need to get to Mario Stanich. What do we do?
Again, for new listeners joining in season 3, this is quite a common occurrence where we just click on what we want and have no forethought about how to actually end on Mario or where we're trying to get to, Mario Stanich. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know, Josh.
John Macken's mentioned. Don't know why that would help.
Do you know what? I saw him mentioned and I was like, it's a player we've not been to that takes us back to England, but how would that help us?
Do you know what? I think it would mention on his page about he was one of the goal scorers when Man City beat Spurs in the FA Cup 4-3 and they were down to 10 men. I think we were winning like 3-1 at half time or something.
Are you telling me you actively want to go to John Macken to see if that's there, even though it doesn't help get us to
Yeah,
Mario
just so Stanich. I know to delete it for future.
Okay, so just so that we can never go there again in the future, let's go to John Macken now.
Well, what a picture. Look, he's off for his first office job.
Looks very proud of it.
Jonathan Paul Macken, born September 1977. He's a full manager. Oh, hold on, quickly going down. Where is he? Wilton Albion. Okay. Oh, he's up in my wife's neck of woods, Colne and Radcliffe Borough. Okay, Colne is in that area. Former professional player, but as a striker. And have you ever heard of Wilton Albion?
No.
So he seemed to like the North a little bit, started at Man United. Did you realise this?
No.
Preston North End. We can get to David Beckham from here. We don't need to get to David Beckham, Josh. We need to get to Mario Stanich. Then he moves to Man City, Crystal Palace, Ipswich, Derby, Barnsley, Walsall, Norwich, Victoria, Stockport County, Bamber Bridge. Oh, that's enough. I would have thought he deserved more of an international career than that. England under-20s, the worst age group, I'd say, for the unders.
Yeah.
A bit of a forgotten age group, I'd say.
I would
agree.
It's
all about the teens and then 21s. No one plays under-20s unless you're... not physically ready for 21s.
It's very England once. B, isn't it? It's very England B.
It's England under 21B, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
Might as well call it that. and one appearance for Republic of Ireland.
How bad are you if in 2004 you can only get one appearance for the Republic of Ireland? I can't think of many strikers in 2004.
Robbie Keane?
Yeah.
Robbie Keane's keeping everybody out.
Yeah. He's not playing every single game, is he, Robbie Keane? He's...
No, Robbie Keane's got a lot of appearances.
True. Yeah, very true.
Yeah. Oh, would you look at this? Manchester City section. He is most remembered at City for scoring the winner in the 4-3 comeback win against Tottenham in the 2003-04 FA Cup on the 4th of February. I bloody knew it.
You just had to check, didn't you? You just had to check. Yeah. So, oh, bless you.
Okay. Panathinaikos are mentioned. Sandor Torghelli from Palace is mentioned. Oh, my goodness. So, more injuries. This is in Crystal Palace. More injuries then continue to limit his chances. And a partnership with Johnson, imagine Andrew Johnson, yeah, continue to alternate between Clinton Morrison, who would have been in the Republic of Ireland squad at the time, and Dougie Freeman. With many fans voicing their discontent that Macken was not living up to his price tag. Does it mention his price tag? 1.1 million.
Ooh.
Oh, how times have changed.
Yeah. I mean, out of everything you just mentioned, I think Sandor Torghelli is possibly my next click, but I don't know how it helps us.
There's no doubt about it, Dave, unless I see anything else. I mean, Stockport County have got a manager called Darje Kalesic. Never heard of him.
No. Not mentioned. Not known. I don't know him either. Is what I'm trying to say. I don't know how we get this to Mario Stanic.
I've got a feeling Sandor Torghelli has played in Italy. Well, what? I haven't. I've got a feeling he's played all around Europe.
What nationality is Sandor Torghelli? Hungarian.
He was Hungarian. Yeah. Or Bulgarian.
I think he's Hungarian. I think he's an Aryan of some sort. Should we have a look?
Oh God.
Go on then.
We're making hard work of this. Hungarian.
Yes, Hungarian. And he has had quite the career, which doesn't feature anything in Italy, Josh. Honved in Hungary was his starting team. 15 goals in 73. Alone at Markkali IFC. MTK Budapest. Crystal Palace. Panathinaikos on loan. PAOK. Carl Zeiss Jena. Now that's interesting. Because Carl Zeiss are a optics company that make microscopes for my lab in Singapore. So there you go. FC Augsburg, Düsseldorf 2, back to Honved, Videoton, MTK Budapest, and Vassas. 126 goals in 455 appearances, over his career. Not bad for Hungary. 42 appearances, 11 goals for the senior team. Is this going to help us?
Well, his international goals. I thought I was just scrolling down too. If he scored again. He scored against Northern Ireland, obviously.
Obviously. No, he loves scoring against Malta, though.
Who doesn't? Scored against Argentina.
And Brazil. Nice. Germany.
And Germany. Yeah. Oh, okay. It mentions in his PAOK section, he was also famous for his failure to score even a single goal since he was transferred from Crystal Palace. Yet this curse was lifted when he scored in the PAOK Olympiakos derby in 2007. Oh, that's a bit of a shame, isn't it? It's not great goal scoring.
I'll tell you what, that's got Football Manager written all over it, right? You are the manager of Olympiakos, and it's deep into the season, and he scores, and that little bit of annoying text pops up saying, that's his first of the season.
First ever goal, yeah.
Yeah, first ever goal for PAOK. Yeah, okay. Right, Josh. Well, before we move on, hold it there.
Oh.
So hopefully a little jingle's playing right now. I'm going to ask you a quiz question about a previous page, Joshua Cole, and you are not allowed to have that page open because I know you keep all the tabs open. And the question is going to be about the recently looked at Bradley Wright Phillips.
Okay.
How many MLS clubs, and can you name those clubs, did Bradley Wright Phillips play for? We're going to put a point system to this. You get 1 point for naming the right amount of clubs that he played for in the MLS, and then you get a point each for whichever clubs you can name.
All the points, right? So I think it's four, but I can only name three. I've got New York Red Bulls.
Yeah.
LA Galaxy. I'm not sure if that's right. Columbus Crew.
Right. So you're going with four teams, and those are your three names.
I can't think of a fourth one, and I'm not even sure that the LA Galaxy's one is right, to be honest. I'm thinking about Los Angeles FC, actually. Los Angeles FC.
Right. I need right now a final...
Los Angeles FC, Columbus Crew FC, New York Red Bulls, three clubs, done.
But and how many clubs did he play for?
Three.
He is spot on, folks. Oh! Three clubs, and he's named them all, and the key was changing LA Galaxy to LA FC because he re-signed for New York Red Bulls on a one-day contract, so he's only played for three MLS clubs. And that was the quiz for this episode. Well done, Joshua. Back to Sandor Torghelli and figuring out how he links us very close to Mario Stanic. Potentially one idea I've got.
Go on, because I've got nothing.
Hungarian national team is a clickable link. Under the Crystal Palace career section, surely they would have some sort of rivalry or games against Croatia that we can look at.
Yeah, well, we've got to go there because I'm looking at who he's scored against and the competitions are all post-Stanic retirement. Yes.
Okay. Hungarian national football team. Men's international football is controlled by the Hungarian Football Federation. The team has made 9 appearances in the FIFA World Cup, 4 appearances in the European Championship. They play its home matches at the Puskas Arena, which was opened in November 2019. Most caps player, 2 joint players, Gabor Kirali, him of pajamas fame, in goal, and Balazs Zuzak. Butchering that. If my Polish friend is listening.
He was the left winger, played in Germany a bit, wasn't he?
He was, but I'm pretty sure that's not how I say his name correctly.
No. That might give a clue to people who it is rather than your name attempt.
Very true. Their biggest ever defeat came at the hands of England and Great Britain and Germany and the Netherlands, all by 7 goals. So that's, pretty embarrassing. They're all quite historic, though. 2013, they lost 8-1 to the Netherlands, was their most recent loss and battering. How do we think we can get where our Croatia?
Hold on, Dave. Current squad or recent call-ups, name me some players.
Oh my word. Should I know some of them?
You definitely know one. I knew one.
Hungarians.
Yeah, so I'm looking down. I know 1, 2
Adam Cesarle.
3, yes, Cesarle is 1.
Are there any in the Premier League?
Amazingly,
Christian Nemeth? Is he still playing? Is he still knocking around?
The Nemeth brothers, like Szilard Nemeth and Christian Nemeth.
They've
long retired from Borough. We've got Dominic Solbach.
Him. Central midfield, The really good youngish central midfield.
Attacking your Leipzig player, yeah. There's amazingly, there's one player, Callum Stiles, who plays for Barnsley. Ever heard of him?
Amazing. Gulaski, the goalkeeper. I definitely should have got that.
Again, Leipzig, yeah.
Definitely should have got that. So.
And Willy Orban, I recognise. Another. Sorry, Leipzig, love a Hungarian, don't they?
They do, yeah. They do. They really do. Right then. What have they? Oh, hello. We have some people that play in Croatia.
I was looking at Hajduk Split for Lovren Čižić and also.
Osijek.
Yes.
Osijek for Laszlo Klein Heisler. Palmer in there, Josh.
Oh, that's a brave click.
Oh, it is. Well, there's a few options there. There's a few options.
Hold on. I've also, looking in their resurgence years for 2010s, the UEFA Euro 2022 late. I was going to say they had a qualifying group with Croatia, Wales, Slovakia and Azerbaijan. Croatia is a clickable link. I just wanted to, it'd be nice if we can get something a bit earlier. We do have Croatia as a clickable link, though. All the tournaments are mentioned, so we do have the Euros mentioned. Because they failed to qualify for.
Yeah, I just saw that. Yeah.
I quite enjoyed them at the recent Euros. They beat Germany, didn't they?
They did beat Germany. Yeah, they did in the Euros held round Europe. It was in Hungary, wasn't it? They beat Germany.
Mm. And obviously, they just smashed England in the Nations League.
Nations League. Yeah. So, right, I'm not 100% sure where we're going with this.
It's either the Croatian national team, which I'm not quite sure will bear fruit.
No.
He's not going to be, Stanic might not be on the list of, Stanic scored their first ever goal at World Cup. He's going to be mentioned, actually he's definitely going to be mentioned on the Croatian page.
Should we go for Croatia? First ever episode, knocking out two nations, I think, ever. Two Football Federation nations.
Let me just check, this hasn't already been clicked on.
I was going to go with what I always do, Josh, and say fact. But I'm not very confident that we've never clicked on two nations in the same episode.
Oh, no, nor I. Okay, so we have not clicked on Croatia, so we can go to Croatia.
All right, then. Let's go click on Croatia. Learn a bit about Croatia. Current squad, Josh. Past them. No, current squad.
Luka Modric.
Yeah. Who else are you going with?
Josko Gvardiol I went for.
Oh, yeah. Josko Gvardiol. Okay. Two. Three more.
Brozovic of Inter Milan.
Yep.
Kovacic of Chelsea.
Yep. Are you still going? Going to go for a few more?
Where is Luka Jovic from?
Serbian. I'd say maybe a goal.
Orsic scored a hat-trick against Spurs.
He's not in the current squad, but yeah, I will give you that because he'll be in
the current squad. I can't pronounce his name. The right-back. He had a really good Euros. He played for Atletico Madrid. Might not still play from Vrzjalko,
because I'll pronounce the V. But yeah. Yeah, I think there are some others there. Livakovic, the goalkeeper. Dominic Livakovic, if you know him. No, don't know him. There's a few people here that I recognise from Football Manager.
Yeah, Kletikar, I recognise from Marseille.
Kramaric, former Leicester striker. Now at Hoffenheim. So, yeah.
Oh, I remember Vida. He's very much a major tournament player. Dejan Lovren still knocking about.
Yeah, Perisic, didn't mention him.
Yep, that was too easy.
Yeah, too easy. But is our main man mentioned? Is Mario Stanic mentioned at all?
Yes, he is. He is in the squad of the 98 World Cup. He's on a graphic on the right-hand side.
Oh, you lucky boy.
As he played right wing-back.
Wow, okay. Interesting. Wing-backs making a comeback, aren't they? Wing-backs are making a comeback in real life.
Croatians love a wing-back, it seems.
Yeah. So, excellent. Well, we can do it. So, what would you like to learn about the Croatian national team, Josh?
Nicknames.
Interesting fact, just before we get into what you'd like to know. I've been to the Croatian National Football Museum in Zagreb.
I've been to Zagreb. Didn't go to the museum. I remember there's a lot of shoe shops.
Yeah, there is, weirdly.
My takeaway from Zagreb.
If you go back, you should go to the National Football Museum because it's really good.
Oh, yeah. Good.
It has a kit since the 70s. They have one kit for every from the 70s all the way up till now. You get to see some really nice kits and what they've done. And they had a really nice... Can you remember Nike did the circle in the middle? Like number was in the circle?
Oh, yeah, that's very 2000s.
Yeah, Croatia had a really nice... I really like their away kit of that, where it was dark blue. But yeah, sorry, what would you like to learn?
What's their nickname, please?
Oh, nicknames are Vatrini, which means the Blazers, and Kokasti, which means the checkered ones.
Oh, because I have a little checkered kit. What's the Blazers? Blazers. That's nice.
Yeah. Also, their away kit, judging by the little paint images that we get, looks very nice. Black.
You're a fan of a black kit, are you? I'm not a biggest black kit fan.
I'm not a... I'd need to see it. I think how it's portrayed there in paint, I quite like the look of it. It's not quite traditional referee to be a referee enough, but I like the black and the trim. It looks very similar to a Man United shirt I've got, which I really liked, which was black and a luminous red trim. So yeah,
we've got some lovely most cap players. Dario Serna, second.
What a free kick.
Pletikosa, Rakitic is there.
Yeah.
Ivic Olic, veteran Čorluka. Top goal scorers, we've got Suka, Mandzukic, Eduardo of...
Brazilian fame. Yeah.
Brazilian fame.
Arsenal.
Niko Krenka. Yeah, most clean sheets, obviously Pletikosa is going to get that if he's one of the most capped players. It'd be pretty amazing if he wasn't. They did have a resurgence, didn't they? So yeah, Stanic getting the first Oh, so it's not resurgent really because of the war and the separation and independence, isn't it? So they weren't a FIFA member. The first time I became a FIFA member was in 98, so that's why he's the first goal scorer at a World Cup, because they're part of Yugoslavia from 1990.
Yes.
All that, and then, okay.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Mario Stanic. That 1998 World Cup squad is actually pretty good, isn't it? Like, for the names that you recognise. Bilic, Stanic, Prozinecki, Boban, Suka.
It feels like there's a lot of pressure on Soldo in midfield there.
Yeah, it really does. It's a three... how would you describe that on Champ Manager or Football Manager? Three centre-backs, right and left wing-back with one holding midfielder, and then three attacking midfielders behind a striker?
Yeah, it's like get bodies around Suka and we'll do business, yeah.
But have
Stanic is also an attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
And I remember Robert Yanni? I think I remember him from ISIS Pro Evolution Soccer 2. Very pacey.
Yeah.
Very pacey.
Oh, Josh. There's a mention here of something that I'm just going to chuck in because it's a question you got wrong in the quiz, in the bonus quiz. The game included a mistake by referee Graham Pohl, who gave three yellow cards.
Oh, yes, Graham Pohl.
To defend.
Was it Simunic, wasn't it?
Yeah, Josip Simunic, failing to send him off the second defence. But, yeah.
Oh, do you remember Asanovic, the other attacking midfielder? I know Prozinecki, I know Zvonimir Boban, but I don't remember Asanovic.
No, I don't. I don't remember Asanovic. Maybe a beginning or an end of a future episode, potentially.
Yeah.
To learn something about him. But, yeah. Standout Croatia moments for you? Is there anything that you...
Unfortunately, it's going to be Perisic's goal.
That doesn't include England? Because there's been quite a few against Croatia. There's Perisic's goal. There's the bobble over Paul Robinson's shoulder from the back pass from Gary Neville with the wally under the brolly, Steve McLaren. There was also them beating Croatia 2-1, 3-1 to qualify for the World Cup.
Who did Walcott get a hat-trick against?
3-0 Walcott? That might have been Croatia. Yeah, that might have been Croatia. But taking England out of the equation, I think the Davor Suka chip at Euro 96. I think.
Is it Euro 96?
No, Euro...
Might be. Yeah.
It's either Euro 96
or
France 98.
Yeah, we got to the quarterfinals of Euro 96, yeah.
Yeah. That's the one I remember, yeah. That chip from Davor Suka over Peter Schmeichel, I think it was.
Yes,
so,
correct.
Yeah. Excellent.
Right.
Shall we get this done?
Let's tick the box. Yeah. Mario Stanic in the right side of midfield, clicking through. Because, I mean, it might be another Stanic. That'd be pretty awful, wouldn't it?
That would have been pretty bad, yeah. But there we go. Mario Stanic, once signed for £5.6 million to Chelsea. Yeah.
Right, well, we started on David Beckham for his opening day goal against Wimbledon from a halfway line. He was named MLS Comeback Player of the Year, so we went there. Also named was Bradley Wright Phillips. He made his debut for Man City, replacing John Macken. And we clicked on him because I just knew they would mention the 4-3 defeat for Man City against Spurs. John Macken played with Sandor Torghelli at Crystal Palace. We clicked on him because he was slightly more European than John Macken was. Didn't really help, but Sandor Torghelli played for Hungary. So we thought we'd click on the Hungarian national team. There must be some mention of Croatia. There was. They played in the same Euro 2020 qualifying group. Croatian national football team has a lovely picture of the squad, not actually the squad, a starting 11 of the 98 World Cup side, which had Mario Stanic right wing back, and we landed on Mario Stanic, who we chose for his opening day goal on his debut for Chelsea against West Ham, his juggled volley. There we go, in 8 pages, linking David Beckham, Mario Stanic, 2 right-footed opening day goals.
Awesome, love it. No actions either, nothing... was sprung to our attention that could have been incorrect or needed checking, so that was good. And the new feature has hopefully made an appearance if it's all edited correctly.
I hope so. I got it right.
Yeah, I hope so. We got it all right. Excellent. Thank you so much for listening. It brings an end to this week's podcast, the start of season 3. Josh, are you excited?
Very excited.
Good. I mean, we've...
narrowing down the pages week after week.
I think narrowing down the pages, and I would argue season 3 is probably our best planned season so far in terms of themes and things like that and how to link things up. But yeah, should be good. So thank you very much for listening. Feel free to send in your suggestions for Wikipedia pages or suggestions of stuff that we should focus on. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers, where Josh is very active of getting in arguments with other Tottenham fans, and on Instagram at WikipediaWanderers. So thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.